To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
James truly does hate us at this point. Just like, the hell with these guys. The hell with these guys. Yeah, Denver here in Sacramento and Minnesota in Minnesota.
So the cup final is Saturday, right?
This is weird.
Semifinals.
That would make sense. Yeah. And the semifinals now, oh, that's next year.
Yeah, aren't home sites.
So it's Vegas this year.
Yep.
And then home sites next year. The Kings only play 4 games between now and next Friday.
Mm.
And then they have a back-to-back on the weekend. They've got Portland and Houston. But it's obviously Indiana. It's Indiana tonight. It's Denver here on Thursday. It's Minnesota in Minnesota on Sunday. And then they don't play again until Thursday when they take on the Portland Trailblazers. Mm. As we welcome in James Hamm. James, we're just going over the latest additions to the Kings' schedules with the NBA Cup being finalized. And I think the Kings, I think Casey pointed this out, Kings were the first team ever to get eliminated from the NBA Cup after one game that they lost by like 1,000.
800.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brutal to lose the NBA Cup so badly right away. But yeah, I don't know. I don't buy into it all that much anyways. I just don't think it's that special, and the courts are crazy. And the first year was cool. After that, it's been kind of like meh. So,
You're getting a call from Adam Silver, buddy.
Yeah,
I like the NBA Cup. I mean, I feel like you're not losing anything. Like, it would just, we could get rid of the NBA Cup and just go back to games in November and December that people don't care about anyway. At least there's something, even if it's a 2% increase in interest, it's something.
I think they just released the numbers and it's way bigger than that. Yeah. I was just saying,
personally, like, if you're like, oh, I care 2% more, like, that's still more than the zero you were at before for that December 7th Kings Pacers game. December 8th.
Yeah. Excuse me. I think something like they showed like a 90% increase in games watched. I get that part of it. My problem isn't so much with the cup. My problem is that they're condensing the schedule to do this. And I don't like that because I think it's led to a massive amount of injuries early this season. And the Kings have been part of those injuries, but like, just as a whole, the league is struggling with their star level players all being out due to injury.
What's the answer? Do you think it's directly attributed to getting these NBA Cup games in, trying to make them more valuable?
Yeah, honesty, yeah, it's partially just trying to fit the games in, but it's also you know, you have to have a certain amount of West Coast games because they're doing the late start Tuesday and the Friday night game. And so not only does the schedule have to like fit into a schedule, but on top of that, you have, you know, you have to have Tuesday and Friday night West Coast games. So it adds a complexity to building this schedule, if that makes sense to you. But again, like bring the players in a week early, you know, like let them like condense training camp a little bit. Don't have the big week off right before or 5 days off right before the season starts. Like kick the season off a few days earlier and allow for those 5 to 7 days worth of rest that you're not giving the teams early in the season. I think they're getting out to too many games too quickly, and players just, you know, they're building up through training camp and they're getting ready to play and they're coming in good shape, but NBA shape is different. And then they're hitting the ground running and we're seeing one injury after another. And that's just not good for basketball either.
The answer to that, James, is to get two more West Coast teams, Vegas and Seattle. And then you won't have to make the Kings, Lakers, Clippers, Warriors play so much. Also, they're getting the flip side, RIP, to all that, is what are they getting now? The Kings are playing, off the top of my head, if at least it feels like somebody could fact check it, what, like 8 games in 3 weeks? Like with where they're at right now?
Yeah.
They got damn near all of last week off. They're getting almost all of this week off. And next 2.5 weeks, I would say, the beginning of next week, they don't play. They play Sunday, and then they don't play again until Thursday.
Because that's because of the cup.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you played a lot of games early on, but when in other schedules were you getting?
If you survived here's your reward.
Are you getting a 3 week stretch where you're playing like 7 or 8 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've said this too. Like, there are so many complexities to the schedule and stuff that people don't think about. But you know, the Kings are, because of the cup, they now picked up an extra game against Minnesota and an extra game against Denver, right? And so now they're playing those teams 4 times. One of them's on the road. One of them's at home, if I'm not mistaken. But it just adds so much pressure to the early part of the schedule. And because of the draw that the Kings are in, where they're, what is it, OKC and Minnesota, and like their draw, they all of a sudden have to play those teams a whole bunch early on, and those teams are all playing each other. So it, again, it just complicates things. So I'd like to see it a little different moving forward, but I don't think that there's a true answer for any of this. I mean, I get it. Players get hurt in different ways, and you know, I can't blame Keegan Murray's injury to his thumb on any of this. That's just something that happens, but watching Domantas Sabonis play with bruised ribs and like not having a day off, I think is a problem. And then on top of that, like, you know, the league mandates, this is something that isn't widely understood or known by fans, but the league mandates a specific amount of days off during the season for players. So like, I think the day there's something like 19 days during the schedule where they have to have actual off days. And Mike Brown was notorious for using every single day possible that he could practice to practice. And that's not typical. Not every team does that. But if you can add, it doesn't seem like much, but if you can add 3 or 4 or 5 days to a schedule, those are like legitimate days where you could give players days off. So instead of, you know, 3 games and 4 nights, maybe you can space that out where it's 3 games and 6 nights and just add an extra day in the middle. Fewer back-to-backs, that would help. But I don't know. I don't think there's any perfect way to do it.
Hammer, let's go back to Saturday. Saturday afternoon, Sacramento Kings get their biggest win, and biggest, I mean, margin-wise, of the season. I told KC, I wasn't certain a game like that was going to happen this year, or if a game like that would happen very often. We've seen them win games by 3, 4, 1. I was like, that just might be the way that they win this year. Just they're kind of escaping with victories, but they beat the crap out of Miami. They led them by as many as 28 and kind of kept their foot on the gas for most of the game. It all started with Zach LaVine, but what was your biggest takeaway from Saturday in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I thought LaVine came out firing right from the jump. It was like, uh-oh. Like, he looked serious. Like maybe he took the two-point game to heart. Mm. And then, you know, when you start filtering in Max Reno and you start, you get a huge, like, a breakout game from Neat Clifford where he scores 15 on 7 of 8 shooting. These are all things that matter, you know. And I thought the Kings played with force. When you can look at a Miami Heat box score and see that, you know, a lot of their players played like 26 minutes and because they got dominated, not because they were able to rest, that's a good thing. You know, when you hold Bam Adebayo to what, 8 points or whatever it was, and just that, it means that you were the aggressor. It means that you were the one who punched first. And, you know, they didn't have an answer. They didn't have an answer for Zach or any of the things that the Kings were doing. I think it's interesting. The Kings are starting to show a few extra tweaks on the offensive end that, you know, again, days of practice can help that. Last week, we talked about how, you know, they were going to spend that whole week, you know, they got like 4 days, 4 nights in Miami, but they also probably had practice on Thursday and Friday and, you know, where they had a game plan for Saturday morning with a shoot around and everything else leading to that game. So they were able to work out some kinks and give a few new wrinkles that Miami probably wasn't expecting from them. But overall, it's a make or miss league. And Zach LaVine made shots. Neat Clifford made shots. And you want a good game.
What are some of those things that you're seeing, some of the tweaks maybe that they're making on the offensive end that stood out to you?
You know, I think having an active big man like Max in the starting lineup, who's coming all the way out, and you know he's big, but he's also kind of frantic when he's setting screens, and there's like a lot of movement going on with him. He draws your attention, and I don't think teams, like, does it matter all the time? No, as you get into a game, you start to figure out that that's just him. He's just kind of all over the board. But early on in a game, I do think like just his activity and sort of the frantic nature of the way he plays as a rookie, it does draw some attention. And he's a major threat. So when you're coming off a game where, you know, he goes for 25 against Houston, all of a sudden people are looking around like, huh, do we need a game plan for this kid? Probably not, but do we? And so I just think that there's a couple of extra wrinkles there. Some of the passing, I mean, the offensive schemes where different guys were coming out to set screens than normally do. I thought that was new. Just like overall, it looks like they were a little more functional offensively. And I'll keep saying this. I know Doug talks about defense all the time. He doesn't want to talk about offense, but that offense is so bad. It has that it's inefficient. And when you have an inefficient offense, that leads and the number one rebounder in the NBA is on your team, but he's hurt. That just leads to like defensive breakdowns everywhere. So that's one of the biggest problems I think the Kings have had this year. It's that we keep focusing on how, you know, the defense is struggling, but the defense is struggling because it never has a shot. They don't have a chance to get back and to do what they're supposed to do. Because oftentimes not only are they, you know, missing shots, but they're not getting offensive rebounds hardly at all. And on the defensive end, it's the same. They're not closing out they're not closing out possessions with rebounds because they're not a good rebounding team. And so I think this is, you know, they're not good at multiple facets of the game. And that's a problem. You know, it's like last year we watched the 49ers lose multiple games because their special teams was bad. And I think in the NBA, you can almost look at like rebounding as special teams, because if you can't secure the offensive rebound and get some easy second chance points, that's one thing. But if you can't secure a defensive rebound, now the team is, you're in scramble mode. They're getting easy buckets and it just comes back to bite you in the end.
What'd you think of Max first outing as a starting five in the NBA?
I think it's good. I talked to Kyle about this earlier on the Insiders. For me, one of the biggest things is that he's starting to rebound and starting to figure out how to rebound at the NBA level. And, you know, there isn't a lack of trying with him, But I think when you get to the NBA, you realize very quickly that this isn't college, that not every team in college has a player that can match up against a 7'1" guy. And you get to the pros and everybody does, like, they're, you know, except for maybe the Kings. Typically, they don't have a guy who can match up against a 7-footer. But I think that he's starting to figure out, like, if he doesn't do his work early, if he doesn't put a body on somebody, he's going to have a ton of issues. And I think the best thing for Max to do is, even when Domas is back, it, like, watch Domas work, because it's not like a coincidence that, you know, Domas has led the league in rebounding 3 years in a row. It's not some randomness. It's because Domas is physically battling people, like, the entire offensive and defensive possession. He's working to get the rebound. And that's something that I think Max can, you know, watch film of Domas, but he's just way bigger than Domas. So not only are you have, like, a size advantage, but now if you start boxing out and start start rebounding like Domas does, but with better size and length and athleticism, then you might be able to turn yourself into a really, really good rebounder. And that's something that I think he should be watching for this whole time. And it's something that's really helped him, you know, from the jump. Eventually he's going to get comfortable. He's going to take people off the dribble. He's going to go shoot 3-point shots and mid-range jumpers and stuff like that, because he is a very good offensive player. We're talking about a 20-10 guy from college, but that's not how you get on the court as a young player in the NBA. You got to play defense. You've got to do all the other things.
James, is that for you, is that the next evolution of his game, at least this year, is being able to rebound at a high level consistently?
Yeah, that, Kenny, to be honest with you, what I want to see from him first is, you know, get up to, you know, a rebound every minute and a half that you're on the court. You know, maybe what you can't do is, if you're playing 12 minutes, you can't get a rebound every 4 minutes. And that, so you can't come out of a game with 3 rebounds. I know Kostas Koufos used to have this thing that he wanted a rebound every, I think, 90 seconds that he's on the court, and he tracked it. Like, he wanted to make sure that he was getting a rebound. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, look, in year one, it's okay for him not to shoot, you know, 5 threes a game. It's okay for him not to ever once take somebody off the dribble outside of, like, a 2-dribble drive at the basket when you're in the post or something. Those things will happen as he develops as a player and as he's given more and more from the team. For right now, it's rebound, it's score around the rim, it's be active, set screens, get better as a screener. But also, like, I think he's a super active roller to the basket, and he's going to continue to score buckets because he's a really big kid. You know, like, you can't teach 7'1". And, you know, just look at him versus, like, Alex Len. He's just so much more agile than anything we saw from Alex Len in the last couple of years. Now, Alex is a better shot blocker and probably a better rebounder per minute. But you can see the outline of a player here. And to be honest, I'm really surprised that Max Raynaud fell all the way to the second round. And, you know, that did not make any sense when it happened. And it even makes less sense now when you're watching him on the court and watching him grow. And then, you know, I think he has a double major from Stanford in mathematics and computer engineering. Like, this is a brilliant dude. Like, he is so incredibly smart, and he's good people. And so, like, all of these things, like, bravo to Scott Perry and his scouting group, because they found a really good one here. And I think they found two, because I'm looking at Neat Clifford's defensive metrics and going, holy cow. Like, he is so good defensively. Now, he's making some errors and he's picking up some cheap fouls, but all of the advanced statistics, all of the field goal percentages against and stuff say that he's already an elite defender, and he's got a chance to get even better. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next, Hammer, because we saw Maxime Raynaud start his first game on Saturday, and that coincided nicely with what I think was Neat Clifford's best game as a pro so far. I thought he played really well in Miami.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, again, it's going to take a little while for him to get comfortable on the offensive end. That's something that, you know, we've seen. And to me, it's not even that he doesn't have confidence or that he's not good when he does do things. It's that there's too many times where he's gun shy, where he gets the ball and he's trying to do the right thing. And what he doesn't understand is the right thing sometimes is for him to either shoot the three or race right past his defender and get into the key and make the pass. And those are things that we've seen him do a little bit of. I just need more. What he needs to not do is just be like a catch the ball and pass it right back guy. He's got to be somebody who's actually using his skill set. And I think once he gets a little more comfortable, and again, if they do ever figure out this offense and they start doing back cuts and they start doing, you know, some of the other things that this offense should be doing, more motion, then I think he'll have a better opportunity. Right now, it's pretty stagnant just as a like a scheme. And I need more like player movement, ball movement and stuff like that. And that's where I think he'll start to really come out of his shell.
Want to ask you a little bit more about Maxime real quick. What do you think the chances are of him continuing to start when Domas comes back?
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say like my first instinct is to tell you he's going to play like 13 minutes a night when Domas comes back, and that Domas is going to start at the five and Keegan's going to continue to start at the four. And it's not because Max isn't doing things right or anything else, but it's specifically because like, I don't think anyone wants to make that difficult decision yet to pull DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine aside and bench them. And so you're not benching Domantas Sabonis to play Max Reynaud. I mean, Domas is just a much better player today. And you know, whether you're going to be able to bench one of the other guys, that's a possibility. But I don't think we know yet if Domas and Max can play alongside each other. And I'm not going to start a game that way initially. Maybe a month from now, if they play like, you know, 3 to 4 minutes a half together and you think that it's going well and the advanced statistics say it's going well, and not only that, but you know, you're able to find a group of players that work around those two, you know, whether it's LaVine or it's, you know, Keegan Murray or Keon Ellis, you know, you're going to need shooters and everything else just because Max isn't going to garner the respect when he's standing out at the 3-point line that some of these other guys will. Eventually, I think you have to test it. You have to see if that's something that can work long term, because, you know, again, I'm not ready to throw everybody out and just say blow this entire thing up, because I know how long that process takes and how impatient, you know, not only Kings fans are, but ownership is. And, you know, there is a percentage of the fan group that's okay with that. Just, you know, let's start this whole thing over. But I think there is a way to sort of bounce back from this season and sort of this downward trajectory by, you know, adding the right pieces around the players that you already have, changing some of the players you have, but also keeping some of the players that you have and seeing if you can sort of pull out of the tailspin, even if it's for next season, not for this year. This year, I think it should be about getting one of those really, really high draft picks.
Well, James, you thought it was over.
Flamingo watch.
It is not, as Jonathan Kuminga is back in the headlines, sort of. A couple of DNPs with the Golden State Warriors, has Kings fans talking again, has the trade market talking again, and has our man Mark Spears talking again. I want to get your thoughts on that, what Mark Spears said today about what the Kings might be willing to offer and whether Jonathan Kuminga, given the way the season has gone, should still be a pursuit for the Sacramento Kings. So we'll talk all about all of that as we get ready for the Kings and the Pacers coming up at the top of the hour. We are your pregame show here with James Hamm, D'Lo Mukasey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
All right, James Hamm back here with us as we are headed to the top of the hour. The Sacramento Kings will take on the Indiana Pacers in Indiana, Hammer. But Sacramento Kings get a win. Can they make it two in a row, which would match their longest win streak of the season?
Let's do this, guys.
Yeah. Go team!
Or maybe...
Maybe. Yeah,
some people say, let's not do this, guys.
There's that, too, which brings up the Jonathan Kuminga conversation. Obviously, his season is going the way that it is. Mark Spears was on NBA Today talking about Jonathan Kuminga, talking about free JK, talking about it's just not working in Golden State, and mentioned the Sacramento Kings are still interested and that they floated Malik Monk out there during the offseason and a first-round pick. And maybe, Hammer, that first-round pick might not be available in a deal for Jonathan Kuminga anymore. What do you think about Mark Spears' comments? And with the season going the way that it's going for the Sacramento Kings, does it still make sense to pursue Jonathan Kuminga?
I mean, maybe. I it would just have to be the cost, right? So I think we've all heard enough about the Malik Monk thing to understand that that might not work with the Warriors, that maybe you have to move to a different player in that trade or a potential trade. So like, how do you get it done? And can you figure out a way to make it all work? And I'm not sure that we have an answer to that, but if I'm the Kings, yeah, first round pick's off the table. Like for the Kings, like realistically, a first round pick is off the table for almost any deal because you're now looking at being a team that has, you know, six wins, and you know, what does next season look like? What does the season after that look like? We understand where they're heading as far as like blowing this thing up a little bit, but like it's a tough move to make. Like, I don't know how Jonathan Kuminga fits. you know, you can look at him as a rental because you can get out from underneath his contract for next season. It's a team option, and anyone that is trading for him understands that he expects that team option to go away and for him to be able to get, you know, whatever money he wants in the future. But that's not the way it works. Once you sign the contract, you're under contract, and you get traded, you get traded. So I'm at least a little bit intrigued by Kuminga just because, you know, the whole why not, you know, question. And I think we all know that we like to see a player like Keegan Murray move to the small forward spot and stop playing out of position all the time. But at the same time, I'm not sure that there aren't better options out there. And that's going to be something that I think the Kings and, you know, sort of, you know, the Warriors are going to have to figure out. I'm not giving up anything substantial at all. You know, maybe a second round, maybe a couple of seconds, but yeah, the whole idea now of giving up a first round pick, you're not good enough as a team to give up a first round pick. And you got to know that moving forward. So yeah, I think it's weird. Someone, Michael in the chat says DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. DeMar DeRozan contract wise would work for the Kings and they would save $3 million. But I also think that there's a way to get, you know, a second round pick or something out of DeMar DeRozan going different direction. Would a, you know, Dennis Schroeder and Dario Saric package work for Golden State? Is there a third team out there that, you know, would take on Dennis Schroeder and, you know, again, and have one of their players go to the Warriors if Schroeder isn't something that intrigues the Warriors? That's a possibility. I think, again, this Kings team is going to be moving and shaking. And the one problem I kind of see with Kuminga is, like, it's January something, right? He can't be traded until January 15th.
That's it.
Yeah. And so, like, I think the Kings are already looking at December 15th with pretty big eyes and saying, okay, what are we doing that day? And are we going to wait another month to go work out a Jonathan Kuminga deal? And maybe they're not going to, but we'll see. We'll see, because, you know, they are intrigued by the player. BJ Armstrong loves him, but it just never works with Golden State. And we're just kind of stuck watching this thing look ugly and not very conducive to winning. So,
you know, James, the interesting thing about the Kuminga saga and everything else is, it feels like, not saying like, oh, he only wants to play with the Kings, not saying that, but it feels like the player, Jonathan Kuminga, and the team, Sacramento Kings, want to have a union. They just can't figure out how to get to each other. They can't figure out how to make it work. Like, in a free world, like free agent, all money, like, yeah, I'll sign with the Kings. Like, I like what they're talking about. Like, and the Kings like, yeah, we like Jonathan Kuminga. Yeah, come on. But they can't figure out how to get to each other.
No, I get that. But I also, you know, at a certain point, you have to look at some of that as kind of a negative on a player too, right? The Golden State Warriors are 13-12. The Kings are 6-17. You know, if you're a team that's hungry to go play for a 6-17 team today, like, you got to kind of go, okay, man, why aren't you just trying to make it work where you're at? You know, we've seen the knee issue pop up with him, which the team was very forthcoming saying, hey, the MRI was clear. We don't know what's going on there. Like, there's just too many things here that are already popping up. So I do know that when he was in Sacramento, he's pretty vocal about, like, yeah, I'm surprised I'm in this locker room and not the other one. And, you know, like, why have I not been relocated yet? And of course, you know, there's reasons for that. It's part of it's because of the contract situation and the fact that he can't be traded yet. But I just don't know. Like, it's a gamble. And are you willing to take a gamble on a player that clearly wants a whole bunch of money and wants a much bigger role? And, you know, a lot of times those are things that you earn and not just get. And I kind of need to see it now, you know, especially with him kind of fizzling out here this season.
KC brought up earlier, I'm sure you saw this, Zach LaVine post game Saturday. made it a point to go Alvin Gentry on us and mentioned that he and they have not quit, that they're working, and this is obviously on the heels of his 42-point game. And, you know, we've questioned I proposed the idea of, because quit is a very, very strong word. It is a very, very heavy word, and it's a word that causes people to react to it. Disengaged might be a better word. I think there are numerous occasions where Zach LaVine has been disengaged with what's happening on the basketball floor. But what do you think about his response to, I guess, being accused of or being labeled as a quitter?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I've actually had conversations about this with him, and he's very offended by that word, the idea that he's quit. He is a player who does work, who does take pride in the fact that he's, you know, one of the top probably 30 scorers in the world. And, you know, he's a guy that can go out and get 42 points anytime he wants. But at the same time, like we've all played sports, and, you know, there's always somebody on your team that's way more talented than everybody else. Like, everybody's played with that guy. And sometimes that guy just doesn't want it. He doesn't want it as bad as you. You know, I think as fans of professional sports, I think we all look at players who don't try very hard and we get frustrated, and it's because we know how hard we would have tried if we were out there and we had the opportunity and we were making that kind of money. But, you know, our parents weren't 6'10" and didn't give us a shot to be a 7-foot-tall NBA player. And so for me, I think that there's, Zach can say what he wants, and he can feel the way that he wants, and he can believe that he hasn't quit. And I also think that the people who watch the team, people who, you know, are in the building or watching on TV, they can see a player that disappears for long stretches. And so while he doesn't think that that's quitting, there are going to be people out there that do think that it's quitting. And, you know, again, it's not an easy job to be an NBA player, because you've got, you know, 17,000 people in the building staring at you and a bunch of people on TV staring at every single thing that you do. But, you know, that at the same time, it's not like it's any different than, you know, when you go work at a grocery store and you're, you know, bringing in 25 carts, and you look over and one of your coworkers has two carts and just kind of chilling and walking past all the other stuff that he's supposed to be doing, and you're doing all the work and he's not. And that's like, that's sometimes what it feels like when you're watching some of these guys. They're just not doing any of the extra stuff, or sometimes even what they should be doing. And so you get frustrated by it. And I think that that's where, you know, it's like super visible for everybody. And I don't think, some players don't get that. You know, some players were, you know, they're born in a bubble. They've spent their entire lives as good looking dudes who make a ton of money playing a game. And from the time they're little, everybody wanted them on their team. They're always the first pick and they're always leading score on every team they've ever gone to. But when things turn south, like, there has to be more. You have to give more. You have to perform more. You have to go out there and show that you're not part of the problem. And so I'm hoping that Zach can do that, because, like, again, I believe him. When I was talking to him and he was very upset, well, not upset, but frustrated with the idea of quitting. But, you know, you can't just say, hey, I'm not doing that, and then go out there and disengage and go 1-for-5 from the field and score 2 points. Because that's, your actions are saying something much louder than your words.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I was just about to ask you, James, does that say anything to you about the player, the individual, that he's on multiple occasions like really focused on being clear that I'm not quitting and I don't take that lightly. Does that say anything to you that he continues to address that?
It tells me that he's hearing it, that he's hearing the murmurs, and he's watching the social media clips. And he's seeing people respond to his wife, or, you know, like, he could just look at my timeline. We read some of the tweets that people sent at me about players earlier.
All very normal. Totally normal.
Well, totally normal. And those aren't aimed at me. They're not. Like, it's not like, hey, man, your radio show is bad. Your podcast is horrible. That's not what it is.
Yeah.
It's very specifically aimed at players who they feel like just aren't holding up their end of the bargain. So it's tough.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic. It's not normal. It's very weird.
No, it's very weird.
I think sometimes it is it's a dangerous game to like try to define somebody's effort just by looking at him. We talked about Zach earlier, and Zach is just kind of even keel the whole time. You know what I mean? And sometimes that lends itself to staying calm in the moment. Sometimes it lends itself to when people watch you play or hear you talk, they can say you don't care about what's going on. They may be right. I don't know, but it's – I try to be aware, and sometimes I fall victim to how I feel and my emotions and stuff like that. But I try to be aware of, like, just because somebody doesn't look like they don't care or it doesn't affect them, to putting that label on them, because some people just handle things differently.
Yeah, I know DeMarcus used to hate it when I talked about like the look on his face. And it would be like, all right, well, don't look like you're angry every single moment you're on the court. Don't yell and scream at everybody. And then I wouldn't think that you're, you know, angry and yelling at people.
Zach LaVine's facial expressions can look however they want to. If you're sitting in the corner, like after six possessions, or you're not, you know, attempting to drive to the basket, or you're jogging up and down the floor, like that's what disengaged is to me. Disengaged doesn't have anything to do with, like, he is a chill. He just has super a chill demeanor. Dude. Like that is his.
Yeah, super, super chill.
That's him. That's his personality. He is a low key dude that you probably can't work up.
Yeah, even like when he and I had a discussion in the locker room, like it's not like I felt like he was angry at me. I just felt like he wanted to clarify something, and I was clear with my point as well. And, you know, I've always told players, you have a problem with me, go ahead and talk to me anytime you want. Go ahead and if you need to ask media relations to pull me aside and have a conversation, or if we're walking by each other and you just want to say, hey, you know, let's have a quick chat, I'm always okay with that. And I've had those conversations with tons of players. But Zach is super chill. He is. He's very laid back. And, you know, I think in a lot of situations, he might be too laid back, especially he's too laid back for the amount of talent he has. You know, you're usually when a guy is that good and that gifted, they're usually like a super type A, and he's not a super type A. And that's okay. It's just, you know, like, again, you have a collection of guys like that. And that might be part of the problem as well. It's not just fit. It's not just, you know, defensive players versus offensive players. Sometimes it's that you have too many guys that are willing to not be the guy, or too many guys who, you know, don't have that voice and put that pressure on other people. So it's tough.
What do you think about the matchup tonight? Not exactly one NBA fans have circled on their calendar, but Pacers and Kings.
Yeah, I mean, I thought when Tyrese Halliburton got hurt last year, I think we all thought, oh boy, you know, that's going to hurt their chances next year. You know, they're certainly not going to be a team that's going back to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're more like a team that is going to be a six seed and struggle throughout the year to like with a little bit of consistency, but they have Nembhard and, you know, he'll be able to step in. Mathurin's probably going to take a leap. Neesmith is going to take a leap. So they should be okay. But then when you lost Miles Turner, you know, that team just, they lost too much. They lost 40% of their starting lineup and, you know, probably their number two and number three best players. Behind Siakam, and they can't keep up. And they've also had a whole bunch of injuries. So this is a team that, again, is at the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings. They're not very good at all. But, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies came into Golden 1 Center without Ja Morant and Triple J and like half of their roster and punked the Kings. So, I'm not willing to just write this down as a win for the Kings yet. But like, look, you got to start figuring out things that are working and play to your strengths. And, this entire season is always going to be more about the Kings than it is anybody that they're playing. Until they figure that aspect out, then, you know, we don't know what we're getting from one night to the next. And that's why I'm never like, I saw this season coming pretty early and I'm like, yep, I have no idea what to predict and what not to predict, other than, you know, the nights where you know they're going to get drubbed. Other nights you're like, okay, they're playing a bad team, but that hasn't stopped this team from losing to the Utah Jazz just, you know, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half, whatever it was.
Well, not to be a gambler on anybody, but they did cover versus Oklahoma City and got blown out by the Atlanta Hawks.
This is true.
So, I don't know.
This is true.
You make sense of it.
I like to see Keegan like have a game again. That was 3-4 games ago where, you know, he put up the 26-15 and it's like, oh, Keegan's back, and you know, he's shown that he's been working on his game and elevating and the jump and all this other stuff. And then after that, it's just been kind of more of the same that we've seen for the first 3 years. I'd like to see him establish himself a little bit more consistently than what we've seen outside of that 26-15 game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would like to see that too. You know, I think he's been good since he's been back. He did score 16 in the last game, and clearly he's got something going on. He's playing tonight. He has been cleared to play, but he's got a, trapezius issue, like back of the shoulder blade type issue.
He's got arthritis, like LeBron.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're trying to backpack an entire team on the defensive end, sometimes your shoulders are going to hurt. That's just kind of the way it goes. I think he's been better than like, you know, just like a middle of the road dude. I mean, he's averaging 16.4 and 7.1 rebounds per game. The 3-point shot has not been going in for him, but I think, you know, we kind of heard Zach LaVine talk about this, about how, you know, give him the ball and sure, he can do some things. I think Keegan's probably feeling the same way sometimes, or at least he has the previous 3 years. And now it's just time to just go out and take the ball. And that's what I hope both of these guys figure out, that this team isn't like one of those unselfish groups that's looking to help everybody out. This is a team that's looking for their own a lot of the time. And sometimes that means you got to take it. You can't just wait for it to happen for you. And that's a problem for, you know, guys with personalities that aren't super aggressive. So hopefully they figure it out and they start to take, you know, they take more of their fair share of the shots.
We were casually talking about Dennis Schroeder and a potential trade and trade options. Like, Dennis is missing like his sixth straight game.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. I don't remember the last time I saw a player questionable for over 2 weeks.
And it's a hip issue, right?
Yeah, he's got a hip flexor, flexor.
Yeah.
But even that, like, it was a sore hip for a long time, and all of a sudden it's a hip flexor, and it's like, okay. I covered the NBA for years. Like, when somebody is questionable, there's a 50-50 chance they will play. When someone is doubtful, it means they're a 25% chance they'll play. When they're probable, it means there's a 75% chance that they'll play. There's actually like a written number for what these terms mean. And I don't think I remember seeing a player miss six straight games that's questionable. And you know, like, it gets ruled out the day of. That to me it's strange, but December 15th is a week away. Devin Carter just got sent to the G League. Like, something feels like it's going on, and I don't know what
Oliver
it is.
Stone over here. A little conspiracy theory.
Just saying. Uh-huh. I think it's very interesting that we haven't seen him at all.
Seen Devin? Oh, you mean like on the court?
No, Dennis.
Dennis.
Yeah, no, Dennis.
Shining, yeah, Dennis, like crazy.
No, I think he means playing.
That's what I said. On the court, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's been doing, like, he's out on the court for warm-ups and he's out on the court for shoot-around.
Is he out there trying to fight guys like John Morant does, or no? Does Dennis not do that?
No, I don't, you know, I don't think there's a huge gun culture in Germany, and I don't think Dennis Schroeder's running around pretending he's Yosemite Sam.
Well, for the record, I don't think Ja's doing that exactly. He might.
You don't think? Oh, yeah. All right.
Maybe some other version of that. I saw Ja out there trying to pick a fight with someone again over the weekend.
Yeah, because dude was out of pocket, though. It was Denny.
Down.
It was Denny.
Oh, it was Denny.
Denny was out of pocket. Denny tripped Coward for no reason.
Denny and Avija?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
kind of dirty.
Hey. Yeah, like, Denny Avija's kind of dirty.
You go look at his stats. That right there is a bona fide all-star. Holy cow.
Denny?
He's averaging 26, 7, and 7, something like that.
Does it affect
winning? That dude is balling.
Apparently not.
Does it affect winning? All right, we'll come back before. No, we'll leave. In fact, we're not even coming
back.
We'll just leave. If you're listening on the radio, we'll run it back. If not, we'll go watch Kings basketball together, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it all tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Kings, light the beam.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.